JG 2.
Number 13B.
All right, so we take a look now at the science of Absolute Christian Science Law. And again, together we enjoy another realization of our individual Christ consciousness, which is programmed for success to be a universal blessing as a scientific truth within the system, always in the flow of life, experiencing the venture of love, always taking on the form of the surprise of life and the adventure of love in operation. And so now we come to the science at Absolute Christian Science level, and we say, well, is it such that I'm just a new individual scientific truth in the plan of being, or is it that my unique individual identity has always existed within the plan? Is it such that we are at that point, at this point, as an individual scientific truth, glorified as what we were before, what we had called the world knew us? Are we in that ideal form, which is always adapted to a specific situation? Is that form something, therefore, that has always existed? Or is it such a surprise of life and an adventure of love that we just spontaneously, recently sprang into being, so to speak? This law says that we always have been a truth and a fact, doesn't it? Because when we concept build with the law and see what is the reality of the law, we see that it is at the point of truth and love, and life isn't there. So why isn't life in this law, would we say? All right, so Mary says, because there's no process. Because why, Mary? That's right. Now, just, that's correct. Give it in the categories.
Because it's already pre-established.
Okay, but that's it, correct. But just in speaking of the categories, how does the, that's absolutely right. How does, do the categories allow you to say that, which is an absolutely correct statement? Just say it out from the categories themselves. Where are we at the point of this law? What point of intersection is this law on the model of being?
The point of science.
All right. So we're at the point of now science, at the point of Absolute Christian Science, which is truth and love. And what, Mary, is the whole level law for this level? The whole law. All right, that's right. And what do we call that law? That's right. Law of spontaneity. That's right, that's right. Everything you said was right. But it's a law of spontaneity, isn't it? The word gives us the tone there that life on this level has to do with the spontaneity of life, doesn't it? At truth, which is individualized, and at the point of love, at Christianity, and is being maintained. Now, at this point, as we see, that law of life of the word sets the tone that life has to do with that which is always new, always the surprise of life, always the new surprise coming out of divine origin of which we are. Our ideal form is the surprise of life and the adventure of love. Now, at the point of the science at Absolute Christian Science, we see, therefore, that we ask, the question is asked, does this identity, has it always existed in science? Always existed within as a scientific truth in being? We always ask a scientific question. Has this surprise of life identity that we are always existed in isness, always existed in being, also always existed as a scientific fact within being? And so, as Mary said, that the answer, therefore, is a one of isness, in so fact that, yes, that our life has always been a fact and always been fulfilled. So life is bringing out isness here. It doesn't appear because it's just saying, well, that life is spontaneous here. That life is spontaneously maintained. And therefore, because this law is answering a point of isness, life doesn't come in the symbolism. Does that make sense? Because it's life here is answering the question of isness. Therefore, it isn't needed as a symbol or taken in as a symbol on this level. The question is to truth and love. Is that spontaneous life, which is an adventure of love, is it a fact and is it fulfilled in being? I guess that's as clear as I can say it. And then truth says yes, that spontaneous life, which is the adventure of love, is a scientific fact, truth, which has always existed in pre-established perfection love. And therefore, it shows therefore that it is that a sense that again, you get that feedback principle where that's why the arrow feeds back to the source saying, well, therefore that creator and its creation is one, that we really are that one principle, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, yet still remaining the one principle, which is, since time immemorial, always been the principle. It's a feedback there, saying that the idea is just that principle itself that has always existed since time immemorial, of course, individualizing itself and adapting itself to a specific situation in pre-established perfection, showing that principle has never left the realm of principle. It's a wonderful feedback here where creator and its creation is one, showing, well, even though that principle appeared as an individual idea, that individual idea always remained principle. And you get that feedback again to the fact, well, it's only principle going on. Since pre-established being, that only principle is showing forth its pre-established form of itself in an individual way. Can you catch the gist of it? So meaning nothing new really comes into being in a way outside the system, where it looks like we come spontaneously forth as a fact and fulfilled. It's saying, look, at what comes forth is a principle, and it just feeds us right on back, of course, to the level of science itself and say, well, what come forth is just that principle being its own infinite principle. It's that one ego infinite being, which has shown itself forth on the level of absolute Christian science in an infinitely individual way, but this law of truth and love says, but that always remained the principle. It just keeps it tied within the infinite withinness of principle, which solves, as I said, within mysticism, that we lose the individuality. Infinite individuality, we don't, it's that principle appearing as the individuality, yet still remaining the principle. It feeds right back again to the science level, showing that everything is going on within that infinite realm of principle itself, in that realm of pre-established perfection. Therefore, really, to principle, principle never changes, but the experience is always new. Principle always takes on another form, but it's still principle, according to its that immaterial feedback principle. It's really quite wonderful. So when we now, therefore, take in our prayers this law, then always on this level, just we always do that. We always just go this afternoon and see if you can flow now from the level of science itself to divine science to absolute Christian science concerning the whole place value of what we are as a scientific truth within the whole system, as a unique scientific truth within the system. So let's see, we have a few minutes. I will just repeat myself, but just to set it up again for the fun of it and for what we can do when we go back to our room. And if you have any questions along the flow, please stop me, because it's just here to help you set up an exercise this noon when we go back now for lunch and back to our rooms, anticipating, of course, what will happen as life experience when this has an impact on the Christian science level. But just what kind of exercise will we do when we get back to our room? So first of all, we begin on the science level law, don't we? All right? So therefore, when we get back to the room, we will look at the law on the level of science itself. And we will say, therefore, that we know what is reality. See, always maintaining those two questions to ourselves when we go back to the room. What is reality? Reality on that level is now principle being its own infinite principle, isn't it? Okay. Now we have consciousness build with that reality. Therefore, from that level, we in our consciousness are just going out from that level and know that there is no separation between principle and our consciousness. That we just ourselves are that one, take the standpoint of the experience and the awareness. It's just a being. Not even, we just try to get into the atmosphere of the experience of principle being its own infinite principle. And that is is an awareness, it's a being, it's an experience. And when that principle is being its own infinite principle, we see therefore that is always bringing out of its own infinitude, out of its own womb, out of its own matrix of infinity, springs forth really our identity. Is coming out of that principle itself, out of the origin of that principle, through the channel of principle itself, where the outcome is that our unique identity is always going to be as the principle itself, and for the glory of the universal principle, which is love itself. And we say, now, what is the law that will let me really see that I'm for the glory of the principle itself? And then we come to the level of absolute Christian science, that the word of absolute Christian science say, oh, I am for the glory of that principle itself, because I'm just can see that I'm that law of life, truth, and love in operation. That I'm just really coming spontaneously forth every moment, always new, always expressing the creative force myself, always showing that I am always a new expression of that principle, coming forth as a fact, coming forth right, adapted to a specific situation. So I'm always seeing, though, at the point of the word of absolute Christian science, that I always am that law of life, truth, and love. That I am the law of the divine success mechanism in operation. Therefore, I'm always coming forth as a pioneer, which is right and fits within the goal of the whole purpose, the whole universal purpose of being itself. Therefore, as that law of life, truth, and love, as the pioneer which has pioneering work to do within the plan of being itself, I see it the law of Christ at Absolute Christian Science. Therefore, I am that whole Christ consciousness, infinitely individualized as an individual Christ consciousness, adapted to a specific situation. Therefore, I am that universal blessing, because I can see that I am a unique universal blessing, because I am the unique individual Christ consciousness, which is a blessing for the whole universe. And then at the law of Christianity at Absolute Christian Science, and say, well, I'll always be a universal blessing. I never have to be concerned that I'll be anything else but this universal blessing. I don't have to worry about whether this is going to be maintained or not, because I see that life is always maintaining me out of that infinite well of life, which is always out of the infinite matrix of immortality. Life itself is always operating out of the origin of life itself, through the channel of life itself, as life itself, for the glory of life itself, always bringing to me the abundance of the ideas of mind and its ideas, spirit and its ideas, soul and its ideas, principle and its ideas, life and its ideas, truth and its ideas, love and its ideas. And I'm always being maintained by all that whole calculus of ideas, of principles and its idea. That's constantly coming to me new, always those ideas, and they're always there to maintain me. That's what sustained me. Food doesn't sustain me. Blood doesn't sustain me. Money doesn't sustain me. That is unknown on this system. I don't even consider it. What sustains me on this system is life, bringing forth the infinite well of the whole well of principles, ideas are always coming to me. That's the bread of life. That's sustaining me. And that bread of life is always sustaining me with the infinite ideas of principle, which are the infinite ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And love says, and that well will never run dry. That principle will always maintain us through this law of eternalization. Love says, what principle brings forth, I'll always cherish, I'll always value, I'll always preserve. Because love, out of the infinite womb of love itself, on the level of science itself, is always saying, as love, I'm always operating out of the origin of love itself, always through the channel of love itself, always as love itself, for the glory of love itself, and therefore I'm always going to preserve and cherish and love and maintain, because love never loses sight of loveliness. Therefore, I'll always preserve what life has brought forth. I'll always preserve the abundance of the ideas that life is always bringing forth. I'll always preserve that abundance. The well will never run dry. That consciousness will always be full of the glory of God, will always be full of the calculus of ideas, the bread of life. And then at the point of science, at Absolute Christian Science, it says, well, anyhow, that consciousness, which is always filled with the bread of life, with the sustenance of life, being preserved by love, which never loses sight of loveliness, always maintaining that calculus of ideas, it says, well, anyhow, that is a fact that has always existed in pre-established perfection. That law of eternalization is a law in being, a law in principle. It can never get lost because it's a law that is in a fixed principle. It's a pre-established law. It's a law that exists in the pre-established fixed realm of science itself, where principle is being its own infinite principle, and we maintain that whole infinite withinness and integrity to see that everything is going on only within that fixed, pre-established realm of principle. Therefore, my life is programmed for a success. I can't help but to be the individual Christ blessing in the world because my identity is always sustained and always maintained. That's for the law. So we go on this afternoon and see the transition from Christian Science, absolute Christian Science, to Christian Science. And we remember, therefore, what we talked about yesterday that was very important from the Four Levels book on page 68, where Max mentions concerning the two aspects of absolute Christian Science. We know now that there's only one level between one line between absolute Christian Science and Christian Science. In explaining that, Max says in 68, Christian Science has two aspects. First, absolute Christian Science, often also termed Christ Science, which is concerned with absolute truth. Second, Christian Science, which deals with concrete form of error. We call the second aspect simply Christian Science. The textbook writes literally of absolute Christian Science in a few instances only, but many of the references to Christian Science touch the absolute sense. Christian Science as such is always absolute, because it proceeds from an absolute standpoint and remains there. The level of Christian Science is not a relative one. It merely shows the effect of absolute truths in the realm of belief, its effect on the human, and consequently on the relative points of view. And that's the key, that we saw yesterday that Christian Science is absolute standpoint, and we remain there. In consciousness, we never leave the realm of the infinite one. We never leave the realm of the infinite withinness of principle. Never, 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 never. So we just see, though, that this desire or claim or false education for us to believe that something else is going on besides principle has to be re-educated, has to be put back onto the right foundation, which is to realize that only God is going on. So we saw then that if we go out side the focal point of spirit, Mrs. Eddy says that that causes the difficulty, really. She says then what we get is a world in which, and it's only seeming, it's never true, where it seems as if delusion, sin, disease, and death arise from the false testimony of material sense, which from a supposed standpoint outside the focal distance of infinite spirit presents an inverted image of mind and substance with everything turned upside down. There we saw that was then the standpoint of the first and second record of creation. If we stick to the calculus of spirit, the calculus of ideas on the level of absolute Christian Science, then naturally we're at the focal point of spirit, the focal point of the calculus of ideas, and we stay within the realm of the Infinite One in awareness. We're always within the realm we know now of principle being its own infinite principle. We can't get outside a closed system. It's just different states and stages of consciousness. So the level of Christian Science is just here to show the impact of the absolute on the relative. Now, we know, therefore, that what's happening between the absolute Christian Science and Christian Science level is the Christ in its translation and retranslation as a law of translation and retranslation. The translatability of the Christ is happening on all levels as we will flow together. We see that that law of translatability is happening between the from the level of science itself to the level of divine science to the level of absolute Christian Science and its impact on Christian Science. But in taking a look at the just the relationship between absolute Christian Science and Christian Science at the moment, and then we'll always maintain our flow, bringing in all the other levels. We see, therefore, that between the two levels, if we take the law of translation and retranslation here, we see, therefore, on the level of absolute Christian Science, therefore, principle has translated itself to the point of idea, yet still remaining principle. So principle appears as a calculus of ideas, and that calculus of ideas are the reality values from which we go out. We never leave the correct reasoning of reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind. We begin with mind, which can only be understood through its idea and never through its opposite matter. So we do that in practice of sticking to allowing what principle is presenting to us on the level of absolute Christian Science through the law of the divine success mechanism, that idea which is coming out of the realm of infinite reservoir of the level of science itself as it springs forth on divine science out of principle, through principle, as principle, for the glory of principle. It comes to us on the level of absolute Christian Science, that idea already programmed for success at the point of the word of absolute Christian Science. At the point of Christ of absolute Christian Science, it is infinitely individualized as the ideal idea to our specific situation. That idea is never lost. It's always maintained and cared for by life and love. And it's coming forth as a pre-established fact, as a scientific truth that exists within the system. As that idea comes forth, then simultaneously it causes us to go through our consciousness, to go through everything just happens in consciousness as the idea then comes to us through the downward causation, the translation, brings us the idea, and then it simultaneously, what we call the level of Christian Science, causes any darkness to disappear through what they call today a phase transition. They have that sense of downward causation and phase transitions happening in the world. So we'll say that we are experiencing as the Christ, as that divine algorithm of being, a divine downward causation, a translation of that ideal idea coming to us when we understand it as the divine ideal idea to our situation. That simultaneous understanding brings about the divine phase transition where the false beliefs, counterfeit claim against that idea disappear, and we remain within that realm of the ideas. So we saw yesterday that that is a dynamic happening. It's a self-operating, self-regulating system. Those ideas are coming to us. We don't think them out. They're coming out of the realm of the Infinite One, science itself, through the logic of the level of divine science, to us at Absolute Christian Science, at the Christ at Absolute Christian Science. And that idea comes to us, and then it simultaneously retranslates out any counterfeit claim against that idea. It is that divine algorithm of being that is a smart law of the Christ. It's an intelligent law of translation and retranslation. We saw that we don't have to inform principle of any claims against our identity. We often don't even know that there is a universal collective or individual claim that is latent, that springs up suddenly. We didn't know that it was there, and suddenly it's there. And the smart law, seeking out its oneness with us, detects that counterfeit claim and gets rid of it right away.